sing a new song to the innocent son. Heaven's first is here.
Let's sing that again.
Adore him right now. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you, God. I honor you.
Yes.
How wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Young people, you may make your way to youth class. Want to make you aware of some things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday, regularly scheduled services, Sunday morning, and then on Sunday night, we'll continue in our understanding the end time, talking about God's Israel and God's given destiny for them. And so that is coming up Sunday night from 6 to 7:30. I think there may be one or two more spots to sign up to bring snacks, refreshment. I want to say this. Thank you so much to all of those that are they're making that possible. I know many times it there's multiple people that are doing it multiple times, and so I thank you for that. The drinks, the little refreshments, and what a good time we have together in the sessions and then in the breaks in between. So thank you. Thank you very much. We just make a general appeal, and then you respond. We did have a department heads meeting Sunday night, and one of the things that we talked about is we're going to begin fundraisers. We're also going to begin on Sunday night taking up an offering, and the offering that we take up on Sunday nights during our sessions will be specifically for improvements to the buildings. One of the things that we know we're in dire need of doing is replacing the carpet here in the sanctuary, so that's something that we're going to be looking into, but before we do that, we're going to need to paint the walls, take care of some other stuff before we do the carpet. So that's something that we're going to institute, start this Sunday night, and that's along with what we're doing with understanding the end time. And then other things that are happening, obviously the harvest party that is happening a week from last night, so on October 31st, the harvest party here from 5 to 7, and we need your help. We looked over the sign-up sheet, and it's pretty sparse. There's not too many people that have signed up for helping us out, and so I know a lot of times we, you know, do things last minute, but we need a little more confidence in that we're going to have enough people to be here on that night to pull it off and make it happen. And another thing, if you've looked at the weather, it's not supposed to be the best weather out. It's supposed to be cold, rainy, possible snow showers, possible rain showers turning into snow showers. We know that when that happens, because of what we're doing in the sense of serving soup, we know that those coming through here, the number of those coming through here is going to increase. And so we need all hands on deck. We need as many people who can to help us. Also, there will be on Monday night a setup time to help us with tables, chairs, getting drinks set up, everything that we can do prior to the actual harvest party happening. We're going to be setting up from 5:30 to 7:30 on Monday the 30th. So you say, well, maybe I can't be here right at 5 on the 31st, but I can come on Monday and help for a little bit. That's great. Any and all the help that we can get, this is a way that you can be involved and you can help us out in making all this happen. And so the prep for the harvest party is happening on Monday the 30th from 5:30 to 7:30. The same time they'll be doing practice here in the sanctuary for the presentation that they're putting on. And then on Tuesday from 5 to 7 is the actual harvest party itself. And so we want to make you aware of that. Other things that are happening, if you are interested in being a part of a food service class, Brother Spencer Underwood is certified, and he is going to be teaching a class for those in the church that want to be certified in food prep, food service prep. And so if you would like to do that, he's going to have a sign-up sheet at the back. The registration cutoff is Wednesday, November the 1st. So 2 weeks from tonight is the cutoff to get registered for that class. And the class is happening here at the church on November the 4th. And basically what it is, it's instruction for about an hour and a half. And then you got to take there's a break in between. Then you have to take a test. And then you send off for the certification. If you need more details on that, please see Brother Spencer. He can give you those details. And then don't forget, on November the 5th, Saturday, November the 5th, daylight saving time begins. And so you will need to set your clock back. And if you forget to do so, you will show up for the 10 o'clock service, and we will be starting the 11 o'clock service. Okay, nobody. Anyhow, moving on. Don't forget to set your clocks back on. It's going to be a rough night. Don't forget to set your clocks back on November the 5th, Saturday, November the 5th. Other things that are happening, and we'll put those on the calendar. Obviously, you can go on Breeze. These things are being updated on Breeze as well. And we're trying to make you aware, just so you know what is going on when and what is happening. I do want to say again, thank you so much to all those that have brought meals, desserts, cards, gift cards, just You have certainly appreciated us this month, and I know there's a few days left, but I just want to say sincerely from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And not only do you include me and my wife, you include the kids, and that just means so much to me, and I want you to know that. I want to say thank you for your show of appreciation to us. And then another way you can show that you appreciate me is if you don't fall asleep tonight. That would help. We are continuing in our study, enjoying the journey. I believe this will probably be the last study in the series, and I want to finish up, and I hope that you will understand we're finishing up on a very positive note. I want to encourage people tonight. I want you to understand that when we're talking about an invitation to real relationship with God, and that's been the focus, that's been the overall theme of the study. Tonight we're going to be talking specifically about the fact that you matter. That you matter. An invitation. Hold on, here we go. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3, and talking about you mattering. You are worth something. You have worth in the things of God and the kingdom of God. You have worth as an individual. You have value. No matter what the world may say, no matter how many detractors you may have, you have value, and you need to understand your worth. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Everybody say, everlasting love. "Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Another thing we understand is an agape love. It is unconditional love. It is without condition. God loves as no one else could ever love. He has an everlasting love. "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So tonight we want to talk about the subject, you matter. You matter. You have worth. It is an invitation to realize your worth. An invitation to understand that I matter and that you matter and that we all have a part, we all have a place, we all have lives that we affect and that we touch. And no matter what others may say and no matter how others may make us feel at times and no matter how circumstances may surround our lives and things we may go through, we need to understand that we matter. That I am here for a purpose. That God has created me, who I am, and who I am is special. Who I am matters. Let's think about it in this regard. When we doubt who God has made us to be, we shame His handiwork. God does not make mistakes, and while we certainly take responsibility for our own feelings, our attitudes, and our choices, we should never allow those things to make us question His love for us. Certainly, we are not perfect. Certainly, we make mistakes. Certainly, our choices are not always the right choices. Certainly, we do not always manifest the right attitude. And certainly, as human beings, we have feelings. We have emotions. We do at times feel depressed. And we do at times have anxiety. And we do at times feel and might feel like we don't have much worth or that nobody really cares whether or not we are still around. But we need to understand that we matter. Despite our feelings and despite our choices and despite our attitudes, we need to continually come to the conclusion that I matter. That there is worth in me. I have value. There is a reason why I am here. There is a reason why God has me here at this time in this place. There is a purpose attached to my life. I have value. Everybody say that with me. Say, I have value. Sometimes you need to get up in the morning, you need to look yourself in the mirror, and you need to say to yourself, I have value. I am worth something. And here's the thing. I realize that in our responsibility for our choices and our attitudes and our feelings and the things that we go through, we struggle sometimes because we realize that we have done things wrong or we have made mistakes or we have manifested attitudes that are not right. We need to be reminded that those things are a part of our humanity. And that those things, though they are real and they are a part of who we are, those things will never negate God's love for us. Your response in and of itself, it reminds me that we need to be reminded that we have value. That even though we do make mistakes, and even though there are times when we manifest bad attitudes, and there are times when we have our feelings, and our feelings get hurt, and we do feel down and out, and we do feel depressed, and we do feel like nobody cares, we need to be reminded that we have worth. That we are attached to people and we are touching other lives with our lives and we have worth. God's love is unconditional. It is to be claimed and not questioned. I'll say that again. It's to be claimed and not questioned. I need to claim God's love for me. Not question God's love. See, the enemy, he tries to get us to question because of our mistakes and because we don't always manifest the right attitude and because we don't always make the right choices and because we don't always feel like we should feel. He tries to get us to think and question God's love for us. But we need not allow the enemy to get us questioning God's love for us. His love is unconditional. In other words, it is not based on any condition. It's not based on our feelings. It's not based on our emotions. It's not based on our actions. It's not based on our right or our wrong. God's love is unconditional. Well, I hope you'll, by the end, you're convinced. Because I think a lot of times we may say it. And I think a lot of times it's something that we can roll off the end of our tongue. But I think a lot of times it's something that we struggle to really realize in our heart. We struggle to really understand that God loves me unconditionally. That God's love is not conditional or based upon anything that I say or do or don't say or don't do. God's love is unconditional. And I need to claim it, not question it. I need to truly stake a claim in the understanding that God's love for me is without condition. He loves me unconditionally. We need to believe deep down in our being that God's love for us is without condition. Down in the very core of who we are, in the very core of our being, we need to understand that God's love for me is without condition. He loves me even when I make a mistake. He loves me even when I manifest a bad attitude. He loves me even when I'm not feeling love. He loves me. God loves you and God loves me. And we have got to start finding our value and our worth, not in what other people say or do, not in whether we have a lot of detractors or a lot of supporters, not in what we possess in the sense of material things. Those things are not where our worth is. Our worth is in the understanding that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that God created us for a purpose. And despite our feelings and our emotions and our choices in life, His love does not vary. His love does not increase when we do good and decrease when we do bad. It's unconditional. It is without condition. He loves me even when I don't love Him. His love is absolutely, unequivocally unconditional. Because here's the thing, a greater understanding of God's unconditional love will lead us into greater confidence in our worth. Think about that. A greater understanding of God's unconditional love for me and the understanding that God loves me despite my deficiencies, despite my faults and my failures, my mistakes and my missteps, God loves me. He loves me. He loves me and I have worth to Him. I have value in my life. God loves me. And if I can truly understand that God's love for me is unconditional, and I can truly come to the place where I have confidence that despite what I do sometimes and what I say sometimes and what I'm going through at times, God's love does not vary. I can, from a place of confidence, I can, from a place of understanding of God's unconditional love, I can start to understand my own worth. God loves me. God sees, and I truly believe this, God sees in us so much more than we see in ourselves. He created us. We are beings created by Him. And I think He sees, I know He sees more in me than I see in myself. And His love for me is unconditional. And the more I realize that, and the greater I come to an understanding of that love for me, guess what? The more my confidence grows. Not in my flesh, not in me. Apostle Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In other words, it's not confidence that comes as a result of my accomplishments. Because if God's love for me is based upon my success or my failure, well then I don't have any hope. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If God's love for me is a conditional love based upon what I do, whether it's right or it's wrong, I'm in trouble. The Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And the understanding is that when I get my mind on the flesh and I get my mind on who thinks so and what they think about me and how life is according to my perspective and whether I'm successful or whether I'm a failure, whether I'm doing good or I'm doing bad, and I'm making all these judgments based upon my own life, guess what? I am questioning the love of God for me. And when I begin to question the love of God for me, condemnation comes. And with condemnation comes fear. Fear that I won't make it. Fear that I'm not good enough. Fear that I'm inadequate. Fear that I don't have what it takes. Fear that others are better than me. Comes as a result of condemnation. When we are confident that we are loved, that confidence compels us to spread love to others who desperately need to be seen, known, encouraged, and loved. When I start understanding my worth, when I start understanding that God's love is unconditional, that He loves me, it gives me a confidence. You know, here's the thing, and I say it all the time, it can take me from that maintenance mentality to a ministry mentality. It can take me from always coming to the altar and trying to get myself right with God, to going out and doing something for other people. When we are constantly coming before God and we're constantly questioning whether we're doing it outright in what we're saying, in the type of prayers that we're praying, whether we're doing it in coming and continually repenting, and I'm not against repenting, please understand what I'm saying, but if that's my life and I'm constantly going back and forth and I'm constantly just coming and trying to get right with God, I am questioning His love for me. I am symbolically saying that you're not going to love me until I come to the altar and make what's wrong right. But if I understand that His love is unconditional, that His love is not based upon those things, then I can with confidence reach to other people and spread that love. I can with confidence look to others and their needs. I can do, as we talked about last week, I can turn outward. Stop all the focusing on the me, and I can start focusing on the them. I can start focusing on others. I can start doing my best to reach to others, to show them that God's love is unconditional for them, to show them that they have value, to show them that they have worth, to show them that despite their situation, and despite their feelings, and despite their attitude and their choices, God still loves them. 1 John 4:16-19. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment. Think about that. That this holy, perfect, righteous God, that I can have boldness in the day of judgment. How can I have boldness? That despite my mistakes and my mess ups and my unrighteousness and my wrongdoing, I can still have boldness in the day of judgment. You want to know how I can have boldness in the day of judgment? Because I serve a God whose love is unconditional. I serve a God. I can have boldness in the day of judgment because I have known the love of God. And if I'm continually questioning whether or not I'm right with God, and I'm continually questioning whether I've made my calling and election sure, and I'm continually coming before God, and I'm wavering, and I'm wondering, am I where I should be? And I'm all the time just in that back and forth. I'm trying to maintain this relationship with God. I will fail to minister. And I will fail to realize God's given purpose for my life. We're all the time trying to convince God that we're worthy of love. He's told us from the very beginning, I've told you of old, I love you with an everlasting love. Yeah, but God, you know me. You know me better than I know myself, and you know the mistakes. Yes, but I love you with an everlasting love. Yeah, but God, you know I had a bad attitude. Yeah, I know, but I love you with an everlasting love. Well, yeah, God, but you know, I didn't do this as I should, and I didn't handle that situation. Yeah, I know, but I love you with an everlasting love. Well, God, I'm struggling in this area of my life, and I'm dealing with these temptations. Yeah, I know, but I love you with an everlasting love. It's like we're trying to convince God of something that he's told us from the very beginning. I love you. Yeah, but God, no, I love you with an everlasting love. Why don't you get up with a confidence? Why don't you rise up from that state of being where you're constantly maintaining, and why don't you minister? Why don't you, if you really want to have relationship with me, you got to feed my sheep. You got to be confident in the understanding that I love you. And you've got to come with that confidence into a world and compel them to believe that I love them. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You don't want to know why sometimes we fear? You don't know why sometimes we deal with condemnation? It's not a deficiency in God. It's not a deficiency in his love for us. It's not in any way an imperfection of his love in relation to us. It's an imperfection in relationship to our love to him. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God is love. In other words, I'm not made perfect. I don't realize my perfection in God. I don't realize that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God has created me for a purpose, and that I have worth and I have value. Even though I've grown up and maybe I've experienced things in my life and I've dealt with so much rejection, it has me wondering and questioning. I'm always fearful whether or not I'm making the grade, doing what I should be doing. You say, why don't you stop questioning and start claiming? Why don't you stop always looking over your shoulder wondering, well, did what I did yesterday negate? No, it didn't. His love is an everlasting love. It's not conditioned. But yeah, but I've made some pretty big mistakes. Okay? Offended any one point of the law, we're guilty of all the law. So we've all made big mistakes. None of us, in and of ourselves, none of us, I don't care how bad or how much baggage you have or don't have. We're all worthy through God We're all worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all worthy in relation to God, not based upon our own merit. Not, it is a gift of God. His grace and His mercy is not based upon how we do or what we do or how we live. His grace, His mercy, His love for us is unconditional. And I can have some worth, and I can look, get up and look in the mirror in the morning and say, hey, you're worth something. There's value to your life. See, fear minimizes worth, and love maximizes worth. Fear minimizes worth. Love maximizes worth. Let me show you how this works sometimes. Fear and condemnation that comes from not feeling unconditionally loved has us looking at the faults of others to minimize our own feelings of inadequacy. Whew. You want to know why we're judgmental sometimes? Because we've judged ourselves unworthy. The reason why we're judgmental, the reason why we're prone to look upon other people and their faults, because it helps us deal with our own feelings of inadequacy. And I somehow can be a little higher because I can look at this person and they're a little lower. You see, what I'm doing is I'm placing conditions. I'm saying, well, I'm more lovable because I don't do that. Oh, come on now. Or I am less lovable because I do that. It's not the way it is. It's not based upon condition. It's not based upon what is done. It is an unconditional love. And when I begin to fear and I have condemnation, guess what? It begins to minimize the love of God. In a sense, we're saying His love is not enough. When we're fearful and we're feeling condemnation, it is simply us questioning God's unconditional love. Saying, I'm not good enough. I don't make the grade. I'm not everything I should be. None of us really are everything that we should be. There's only one who's been everything that he should be. There's only one who's been perfect. There's only one who was sinless. I'm not it. I'm not him. Neither are you. And so our value and our worth is not based upon that. Our value and our worth is based upon him. Our value and our worth. And that's why you have just as much value as I do. And I have just as much value as you do. And so the only reason why I would seek to point out your faults and your failures is because I somehow don't understand my own worth. I somehow have judged myself unworthy of the love of God. And so I somehow have to make myself feel better because I feel inadequate. And so I do so by pointing out your faults and your failures. Fear minimum. Confidence and peace that comes from feeling unconditionally loved has us maximizing the love of God for any and for all. It has us truly believing that His hand is not shortened, that He cannot save. It has us believing that God can save absolutely anybody. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody is beyond the bounds of God's love. His love is unconditional. His love can reach to anybody, anywhere, at any state, no matter what they've done. His love is unconditional. And so I won't look at you as being anything less or anything more than me. And I won't look at myself as being anything less or anything more than you. You want to talk about true equality? You want to talk about a true understanding? You want to talk about abolishing racism and bigotry and prejudices? When you come to an understanding that God's love is unconditional, it doesn't matter my culture, it doesn't matter my upbringing, it doesn't matter the color of my skin, it doesn't matter the accent of my speech, it doesn't matter if I'm male or female, it doesn't matter if I'm American, Chinese, Japanese, Russian, none of that matters. There is no condition when it comes to the love of God. His love is absolutely unconditional. So there's no need. There is absolutely no need to point out your faults and your failures. But here's how it works sometimes. Here's how it happens in life. And I know it's somewhat similar to the story of the Good Samaritan, but somebody falls, somebody makes a mistake, and somebody messes up. And let's just pretend that in symbology that's a hole. Somebody's falling, we say, well, they fall into a trap or whatever. And so somebody's in that hole. We would be very quick. We would be very quick sometimes, if we're not careful, to point out how they got in the hole, what they did wrong, and where they misstepped that got them in the hole. Well, you know, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. I can give you scripture and verse that shows you why you are now in that hole. Oh, thanks. Problem is, your scripture and your verse doesn't help me out of the hole. It may help me in the future if I get out of it presently, but it's not helping me right now. You're looking down your nose at me. You're standing on the edge of the hole and looking down and telling me, oh, you're in a mess now. Duh. I know that. How are you going to help me? Well, here's how you help someone out of the hole. Here's how you really get someone to understand how the love of God works. You start filling the hole. You start putting stuff in. And why? Before long, they'll be able to climb out. And so instead of standing on the edge and looking down at them condescendingly, what you do is you fill the hole with the love of God. You fill the hole with unconditional love. The same love that's been extended to you and the same grace and mercy that's been extended to you. Don't just pass them by. Don't just throw a scripture in the hole and say, well, you should have listened. Why don't you stop and start shoveling some stuff in? Why don't you stop and start putting some love of God into the situation and say, hey, before long you're going to be able to get out of there. And guess what? Here's the beauty of that allegory. Here's the beauty of that understanding. Is that when I filled the hole with love, guess what? There's no more hole. No more hole. I don't have to worry about falling back into it. The hole is filled with the love of God. You see, if we would work that way in relation to other people, instead of pointing out how they've fallen, but we would in meekness restore one another, there would be a ministry of reconciliation where we would, okay, we're going to take some time and we're going to fill that hole and we're going to fill it with the love of God, and you're going to understand that His love is unconditional. One of the ways that you're going to understand His love is unconditional is because I, from a place of confidence, not in and of myself or my own ability, but a confidence in God's unconditional love for me. Because guess what? Maybe at one time I was down in that hole. Maybe at one time I fell and I was there and I was dealing with that situation and circumstances. So I won't let you stay there. I'm going to fill that hole with love, and I'm going to pour into your life so much so that you can climb out. That's how it works. Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you others can see Him. Don't shine. Don't become confident of yourself. Confident why I am confident. Because of God's unconditional love for me. And that I can, from a place of confidence, reach to you, not so that you see me, but that through me you see Him. When we are confident in our own worth and do not need our own successes and or others' failures to feel good enough, then we are free. This is so beautiful. Then we are free to cheer others' wins. And we are free to cry with others' losses. We're not trying to make a measurement. We're not trying to bring things back in equality. Because guess what? We understand that God's love is unconditional. And so we are all equal. So I'm not trying to point out my own successes and point out your failures. There's no need for that. I can now freely cheer you on. I can now freely cheer because your wins and your successes don't make me feel at all like a failure. You want to talk about being liberated? You want to talk about having freedom? You want to talk about not having your feelings based upon the successes or failures of others? You want to talk about being confident in who you are and having a sense of self-worth, so much so that when your brother or your sister falls or they succeed, it doesn't matter. You love them just as much either way. And you cheer their wins, and you cry in their losses, and you don't let either one affect you one iota. Why? Because your confidence doesn't come in that. Your confidence comes in the understanding that I am unconditionally loved by God. He loves me unconditionally. And I find my worth not in your opinion of me, my possessions, not in what this world says about me or to me. I find my worth in the reality of God's unconditional love. It's an invitation to understand that you matter. I matter to one who hung the stars in place. I matter. If there's anybody that I should be proud of mattering to, it should be the Creator of heaven and earth, God Almighty. So much so that my confidence comes from my relationship with Him. And if my confidence comes in my relationship with God, the relationship with others will not have the effect that I so often let them have in my life. If I'm truly focused God, how I matter to Him, that I'm not so concerned with how you feel about me. Find my worth in your opinion. It's not that your opinion is not valid. It's not that your opinion is not worth something. It's just that your opinion is not where I find my worth. Because your love is conditional. Because if I did enough wrong to you, you would go away. Oh, here's where it gets real. Love in a human relationship can never, ever have the intimacy that a relationship with God can have. It can't. Why? Because human relation is conditional. Say I love you. You do enough bad towards me, at some point in time, that love will wane. It will be conditional. Not so with God. It works the other way as well. Someone continually does good for me. Man. You see, this is, and please understand, I'm not demeaning. This is a lot of times when you have a close-knit family, there's so many connections because I'm validated by them in many sense of the word, and I found my worth in them. And I'm not preaching against that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes when you have in my family, we're a very close-knit family. And so I relish the time with my family. And one of the reasons why I so relish the time with my family is because it gives me worth. Gives me value. I feel like that if I'm not there, they're not having as much fun.
And from a human perspective, that's why we, those individuals that we get along with and we just mesh with, man, and we're those friends that we just can, you know, let our hair down with and just have a good time with. And that ease of relationship, if you will, and communication, it brings me, it gives me some worth, value in my life. And I'm not against that, but what I'm saying is that my whole life is not about that value. I love that I find worth in relationships and with family members, but I cannot base the entirety of who I am. Can't. Because at some point in time, that love can be conditioned. Not so with God. His love is absolutely unconditional. When we really believe that we matter, we can go from experiencing God's unconditional love to spreading God's unconditional love. That's key. When I truly reach the place where I find my worth and I understand I have value, I'm not always trying to find value, and I'm not always trying to find some worth, and I'm not always seeking validation in other people and experiences and encounters and possessions, and I'm not trying to get find out who I am in regards to other people and the relationships that I have. When I truly understand my value and my worth in relation to God, I can go from experiencing unconditional love to spreading unconditional love. Where I feel that I am loved without condition, I can start loving without condition. I can love individuals without knowing about their life, their history, or their past, and that my love is not contingent upon that. Talk about freedom for an individual to feel that no matter what they tell you, doesn't change how you feel about them. You want to talk about people confiding? How does someone confide in you unless they have the confidence that you're going to love them after they say what needs to be said? As my children grow up, I want them to believe that they can come and talk to me about absolutely anything. I'm going to love them. Because I want them to have the confidence that I can come to Dad and talk to him. It not be the same in our walk in relationship with God, that we have enough confidence to come boldly into the throne of grace in our time of need, then we're not always wondering whether or not he's going to hold out the scepter or whether or not he's going to end it all for us, but we have the confidence. What kind of witness can we be to other people if they knew I was the type of person that they could confide in and they could talk with about things, and I would help them working through it without judging them or without looking down at them or without being condescending to them, but I could help them work through it. Based upon my confidence in God's unconditional love for me, I can extend some unconditional love. That's really what it's about. Closing. Why you matter. There are some people that only you can affect in certain ways. There are some people that only you can affect in certain ways. Nobody else can impact and influence that individual in those ways like you can. Nobody else can. Only you can affect those individuals in those ways. You matter. You can touch their lives in ways that nobody else can. You matter. I've thought about this and in relation to my own children. I full well understand that they love me and my wife equally. I don't, there's no lack of confidence in that. But I also understand this, that when it comes to our expressions of love for our children and the ways that we can interact with them and touch them, There's certain things that I can do in certain ways that my wife cannot do. There are certain ways in which I can show love to my daughter that my wife cannot. And vice versa. Because we both matter. We matter in what comes to impacting and influencing the lives of Landon and Kinsley and all. We both matter. Love will help free others from the fear and condemnation that minimizes their worth. Think about that. Your love. If your love can be given in such a way that is without condition, man, maybe the fear and condemnation they feel in their own life it becomes minimized, and they start feeling the love maximizing, where they're able to come out and they're able to say and they're able to really divulge the secrets and confide in you. You can help them through it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and fulfilling your purpose will come to pass as you truly realize your worth. Why don't you stand? I am who I am, and I am where I am, and I am experiencing what I am. Guess what? But all those things do not change the love of God. It's unconditional. If I can reach to others, and I can use that unconditional love, that understanding of the unconditional love of God as confidence to reach to other people, to compel them to understand that God has love for them as they have worth. I can truly understand that worth. It will help me realize God's purpose for me, who I am, where I am, what I'm doing. God will help me realize that purpose, and I'll be able to perform His purpose and do what He would have me to do. I'm not doing all this other stuff trying to obtain His favor or win His love. His love is unconditional. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Let it once again remind us that we matter. There are some lives, God, that we connect with, that we touch, that nobody else can touch those lives in the way that we can. Lord, that You have placed us here. We have a purpose, God. Who we are, where we are, what we're doing, God, who we're connected with, God, that's all for a purpose and for a reason. That we would be able, God, to not only experience Your unconditional love, to understand it and realize our worth in You, Lord, but that we would be able to extend that to other people. That we would be able to extend love without condition, without thought of where they are, or who they are, or where they've been, or what they've done, but it not be based upon any of that, but just based upon that they are a soul and that You have unconditional love for them. I love You, Jesus. I praise You. I thank You for Your word, God. And as we do so, God, as we realize our worth in You and we reach to others, we turn outward, God, and allow Your love to do its perfect work. Others can experience and then spread Your love as well. We love You. We praise You. We thank You. We honor You and Your word. In Your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.